You can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Philippians chapter 2, going through the book of Philippians, and we're coming to this section in chapter 2 where Paul will give a lesson about the humiliation and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's whole point is this: to teach believers to live a life of humility. And Paul begins his layup, and then he'll finally get to Christ himself as the greatest example of what it is to live in humiliation. And so we're looking at these verses, first of all, in Philippians chapter 2, really verse 1, continuing where we left off last time. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse 4. If there, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. With God's word open, we look to God now for his help. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that will bless us now as we bring forth thy word. Pray, O God, that as thy truth is presented, Lord, that Christ will be uplifted. We pray that thy Spirit will take the word of God and apply it to each and every heart. Lord, convict some sinner of their sin. And Lord, may they come and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And O God, we pray for thy people. Lord, may we have the mind of our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. The words of the words to the Philippian believers in chapter 2, as we have read this morning, be like-minded, is to have the mind of Christ, serving God and serving his people, really continues from Paul's words in chapter 1, verse 27. And you will record those words says, only let your conversation, that is your behaviour, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, deals with the believer's unity in living the gospel. Whereas chapter 2 deals with the believer's unity in thinking about the gospel. When your belief in the gospel will influence your thoughts and your mindsets about the gospel. Believers who are united, striving together as one, laboring together as one, thinking about the gospel as one, will have the mind of Christ. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, he never acted in isolation from his people. Rather, every deed the Saviour carried out was on behalf of his people. And therefore, to be like-minded, to strive together, to labour together, to work together, to pray together, is to have the mind of Christ. To do good unto the household of faith is to have the mind of Christ. Whereas Paul, as he teaches God's people, he is letting them know that disunity, pride among God's people is a sin. Not only against believers individually, but also against the whole congregation, the body of Christ. But above all, it is sin against the Lord, who is the head of his church and the only redeemer of God's elect. Disunity brings disorder, disruption, discouragement, departures, and often the depletion of that local church. Disunity is the result of believers who are not spirit-filled. Rather, they seek their own interests. They never work together. They never join in the work of God. They never submit. They never seek for the infilling. Rather, they are filled with pride, self-centeredness, and they will only do what they want to do. And for that reason, any church is subject to disunity, because the church is made of imperfect people, sinners saved by grace. And therefore, the Apostle Paul teaches God's people the importance to maintain unity. And to do that, he takes them to the greatest example of humility, the greatest example of one who lived a life of sacrifice, a life who served God with devotion, one who put himself before others, who put others before him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so Paul directs believers' attention always to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you learn from Christ and become more like Christ, then you will have that Christ-like spirit within the fellowship. You see, when believers' fellowship is right with Christ, then their fellowship will be right with one another. When a husband's fellowship is right with Christ, then his fellowship will be right with his wife, and vice versa. When the husband and wife's fellowship is right with one another, then it will be right with others in the house of God. Likewise, when there's fellowship between the pastor and the Lord, then there'll be fellowship between the pastor and the congregation. And for that reason, Paul, as he writes about unity in the church, he says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. The word if, as you have before you, can also be translated by the words because of, or by the word since, or in view, or in light of. In other words, because these foundations are present, therefore be like-minded. Because there is the consolation in Christ, be like-minded. Because there is comfort of love, be like-minded. Because there is the fellowship of the Spirit, be like-minded. And because of fellowship, then there is bowels of mercy. And so these foundations are foundations to be like-minded. Now, we have considered already the consolation in Christ. But notice, secondly, today, there is the comfort of love. If any comfort of love, or since there is comfort of love, or because there is comfort of love, be ye like-minded. Fulfill my joy. The word comfort, as you have before you, the comfort of love, is connected with the word consolation, as we learned last time. But there is a difference. You remember, as we read there, if any consolation in Christ. That word consolation is the word comfort, exhortation, and the word encouragement. It is the word paraclete, and it is made of a compound word, para, which means towards or by the side of, and then kaleo, meaning to call. And so this is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside for the purpose to provide comfort, to provide consolation, to provide exhortation and encouragement. It refers to one's presence, even without a word spoken. But it refers to one's presence just by being there. And we've used, haven't we, at times of a funeral or someone's going through a hard time. You may not even say a word to anybody. But just by your very presence there, you have been a comfort. You have shown your support. But now we move where Paul says, the comfort of love. And this word comfort is a different word. It is the word meaning para mutheon. And it comes from two words. Again, the same word para, which means beside or by the side of, and the word mutheomai, which means to speak. And so this comfort is one again, coming alongside. But this time, it's to speak a word. And so see the two differences in the words. If any consolation or any comfort in Christ, that is, drawing alongside by one's presence. And then, any comfort of love, that is, by the Lord coming alongside and speaking a word in love, speaking a word with tenderness, speaking a word in season. And so Paul is showing you, this is what the Lord did for you. He drew alongside by his presence to support you, to exhort you. And then in comfort, he spoke a word in love. He spoke a word in love to your soul. And he met your need. He supplied your need because he is the paraclete. He comes alongside to comfort his people, to encourage his people, to aid his people, and to say a word to his people. And that's why we have the blessed position, believer, when we go through those hard times of life. We have one who draws alongside to us by his presence and also speaks a word in season. Christ's presence soothes the heartbreak, brings peace to the storm, brings comfort in dismay, and gives unity when disunity is on the horizon. The word that Christ speaks, the comfort of love, is the word agape. And this word love is the strongest word for love in the Greek language. It is a word meaning action. How does Christ draw alongside his people and show his love? It is because of all he's done for them on the cross of Calvary. Christ loved his church and he gave himself for his church. Therefore, any blessing you receive, any comfort you receive from the Lord, it always flows from the cross. This is love divine, so great and wondrous. Christ loved his people before they ever loved him. He set his love upon sinners before they ever set their love on him. He loved his people, not for anything in them or for anything he could ever gain from them. Because as sinners, we've nothing to offer him. And as God, he owns everything. But Christ loves his people and what he would give them. Comfort and fellowship in the gospel. The love of Christ is not taking. The love of Christ is giving. The love of Christ is not cold or careless. But the love of Christ is comforting. And that's what Paul is getting at. To God's people, you are to view one another and treat one another as Christ views and treats his church. You're not to treat each other in a cold spirit, rather in a caring spirit, a loving spirit. Why? Because Christ loves his church, and therefore, as the family of God, we are to love one another, care for one another, help one another, and support one another in the things of God. And so Paul, as he begins to speak on the love of comfort, or the comfort of love, this love that is shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, what is this comfort of love? Well, it is a supreme love. Because Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And notice that there, the supreme love, the highest love. Here Paul is saying, he gave himself for me. Do you realize that, sinner? Do you realize that, believer? When you were lost in your sin, the Lord Jesus delivered himself for you. He gave himself for you. He handed himself over for you as a sacrifice, not because of you, but for his own glory and his own pleasure. Notice as well, it is a sovereign love. John chapter 13, verse 1. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them on to the end. You see, we love him because he first loved us. Again, it is a special love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It is a sacrificial love. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord said in John 10, verse 15, I lay down my life for my sheep. And so here is the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to seek and to save them that were lost. He came to give his life a ransom for the many. He came to offer his life a sacrifice for sinners. He came to save those that blasphemed him, those that despised him, those that cursed him. Yet he went all the way to the cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude. And in their place, condemned he stood. Hallelujah! What a Savior! And so there is his sacrificial love. There's also his saving love. Because the purpose of Christ coming into this world was to save sinners. Again, Revelation 1, verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Notice, in his own blood. And I'm glad this day that we believe in the blood theology. And there's power in the precious blood to wash away sin. Men and women this day, the blood is all virtue and all value and all victorious to wash all your sin away. You say, preacher, you don't know the sins that I have committed. You don't know the list of wicked things I have done. And I say, I don't need to know. The thing is, he knows. And here he's offered you eternal life in the gospel. If you will but believe and be saved. There's wonderful working power in the blood of the Lamb. And sinner this day, you can be saved in that precious blood. If you will come this day and trust in him. Oh, I believe there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath his flood shall lose all their guilty stains. Will you be washed this day in the blood of the Lamb? Will you come this day and have your sin forgiven? There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. And so here is the saving love of the Lord. And that means then his love is a secure love. Because 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. We love him because he first loved us. His love is a perfect love, a secure love. You see, whenever the Lord saves, the Lord keeps. You're not keeping yourself. This church isn't keeping you. I'm not even keeping you. The Lord keeps his people. He protects them eternally. Whom he saves, he guards. And here is the lesson that Paul is getting by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and the love he has towards his people. So, believer, we are to love one another with agape love, or agape love, whatever way you want to pronounce the word.
You say, well, that's impossible.
I could never love that one behind me, in front of me, as the Lord loves me. And by ourselves, that is very, very true. Filled with pride and living in the flesh, never reading our Bible and never seeking God in prayer. Yes, that is a challenge. But as the people of God, the adopted sons and daughters of God, you are enabled to love one another and empowered to love one another and commanded to love one another by our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, because His love flows through us. And therefore, the whole point of redemption is that God's people love who God loves. And God loves His people, and therefore His people ought to love His people. That's why it's blasphemy when you hear these people in the street talk nonsense and they say, I love God, but I hate Jesus Christ. A load of waffle. Because you love what God loves, and God loves His Son, and God loves His people. So it has no sense to say, well, I love God, but I despise Jesus Christ. It can never be. Those who are regenerated, those who are saved by the grace of God, they love who God loves, and God loves His Son, and God loves His people. And therefore, believer, you are enabled through grace to love who God loves, and to love who Christ loves. And God loves His Son, and God loves Christ, and Christ loves His people, and God loves His people in Christ. Why? Because God never views His people apart from Christ, and God never views Christ apart from His people. And the whole point we're getting at, Christ never does anything in isolation from His people. And Paul is saying to God's people, when you're serving, you're not in isolation. You're laboring together. You're working together. You're serving together. And by doing so, you put out the flame of disunity. You come to work as one. You come to labor as one. John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if, or since, or because you have love one for the other. We've been brought together by the love of Christ. Therefore, Paul, as he writes to God's people, because remember, in the book of Philippians, there are those who are preaching the gospel, but they're doing it with selfish motives. They're getting at Paul. Oh yes, they're preaching truth, but they're doing it in a wrong way. And then in chapter 4, you have those two ladies who have this disagreement, this argument that seems to take over situations. And so Paul is saying, if you don't want disunity in the church, or to stop disunity, disruption, disagreement, people going off erupting like a volcano, he's saying, look to Christ. Learn from Christ. Have the mind of Christ. View God's people as Christ does, in love, in praying for them, one by one. Notice also, then there is the communion of the Spirit. If any fellowship of the Spirit, or the word again, since any fellowship of the Spirit, or because any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now this word fellowship, we have come across many, many times in this book of Philippians, and certainly in chapter 1. It is the word koinonia. It means to share with, it means communion, it means partnership. And so because there is this fellowship of the Spirit, then be like-minded. And Paul moves from the accomplishment of Christ in redemption to now the application of redemption by the Holy Spirit to the sinner's life, and then the sanctification that follows. You see, believers share in the blessings of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who works faith and repentance in the heart of the believing sinner. In regeneration. And again, we've said before, whenever we use a word, we give a bit of a definition to help you. Regeneration means giving of new life. Means life where there was deadness. And so, by nature, we are all spiritually dead. None of us are born a Christian. None of us are born heading to heaven. We are all born the children of wrath, the workers of disobedience. We're all on that road leading to a lost eternity. We're dead in trespasses and in sin. There's no spiritual life at all. But then, as the gospel is preached, and we're convicted of sin, the Holy Spirit takes what Christ accomplished by his death on the cross and applies that to our very hearts. And he visits that dead soul and he brings life. Gives life, can also be termed as the new birth, or being born again. And that one who is born again, regenerated, there is now fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that life then enjoys continual blessings, the infilling of the Spirit. And the Spirit guides, and the Spirit leads into service. The Holy Spirit's ministry in your life, child of God, is to continually lead you to become like Christ day by day. By yourselves, we cannot get there. Rather, the Spirit of God continually leads us. When you are reading your Bible, it is the Spirit of God who comes and guides and gives help. And so the Holy Spirit continually leads believers and guides believers because Christ has supplied all our needs by the help of the Spirit. And so since or because you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Rather, walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit leads to Christ. And therefore, there will be unity. And so, we are either filled with the Spirit or guided by the flesh. We are either marching in agreement with the Holy Spirit or we are filled with self. We are either guided by the flesh, or we're marching in disagreement with the Spirit. It's one or the other. And so if you're not enjoying the fellowship of the Holy Spirit outside of church services, then you bring an unprepared and an uncleansed heart and a disinterested mannerism when attending the house of God. Why? Because throughout the week, you have missed the blessings. And that's why we always say pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Spirit's ministry to guide and direct and to lead believers. To continually mold them and shape them. Leading them to Christ likeness. Notice finally, then the compassion of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies. The reference to bowels literally refers to your guts, your inward parts. But Paul is using the language symbolically to symbolize the affections, the desires. It is the seat of emotions, our passions, our feelings. And so in the context, Paul is speaking about the affection of the Holy Spirit that he has for Christ's church. And how does the Holy Spirit show God's people affection? How does he show his longings towards the people of God? Well, he draws alongside in the place of prayer and helps us in our praying according to the will of God. And also leads us in prayer. Notice we learn
Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities means a weakness, a struggle. What is that weakness? What is that struggle? We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so here is the Spirit's help in prayer. When you get down to prayer and you feel your weakness, your limitation, and you don't know how to pray or what to say in that particular situation, the Spirit draws alongside in fellowship and produces that fruit, guides you and leads you in your praying. And because the Spirit's ministry is always the testify of Christ, the Spirit will lead you in prayer to exalt the Lord. You see, never forget, while Christ prays for you in heaven, the Holy Spirit prays for you on earth. And whenever we need strength, He gives it. When we need wisdom, He grants it. When we need comfort, He is the comforter, the one who draws alongside. And He longs to bless His people. He longs to bless the Lord's people. Notice as well, Paul used the same word in Philippians 1 verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Again, Colossians 3 speaks of the bowels of mercies. And then there is this word mercies. Speaks of compassion. Speaks of pity. And so God in Christ, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, has shown you compassion, not condemnation. Therefore, believer, be like-minded in demonstrating the impact of the gospel in its compassion to one another, as the gospel has demonstrated that compassion to our life. The Lord, by His Spirit, did not pass by. Rather, the Lord saw you in your need, and He stopped, He intervened by His Spirit. He sympathized with you because of the effects of sin, and He drew alongside and lifted you up from your sin and saved your soul. And whenever you are in need in your Christian life, whatever that trial, that trouble may be, you have one again who comes alongside and longs to bless you, longs to help you, and longs to meet your need. And so that's what Paul is getting at. God's people, as you live the gospel out together, strive together, labor together, stand together in the gospel, because doing so is to be like Christ. And as Christ drew alongside you, draw alongside others. As Christ loves you, you love God's people. As Christ prays for you, you pray for one another. As you enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit, enjoy each other's fellowship. As the Spirit longs to bless you, as the Spirit longs to help you, to aid you, so you long to help one another in the Christian faith. How can you be a blessing to a brother or a sister? Can you send them a text? I am praying for you today. I am praying for you this week. Can you say when someone comes in today, it's good to see you in the house of God? How can you be a blessing? And that's what Paul's getting at. And then he leads them to Christ, because doing this is to have the mind of Christ. He came to bless. He came to save. He gave Himself because He loves sinners. He came to save. And I wonder today, men and women, are you saved by the grace of God? As you've listened to the gospel, as you've listened to the truth of God's word today, and you've seen yourself how you are dead in trespasses and in sin, you need spiritual life. And the church cannot give it. You cannot pay for it. You cannot work for it. It is the gift of God. And therefore you must come in faith and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and forgive you of all your sin. Paul, he gives the foundations to be like-minded, because then he will go on and tell them, here, as we've learned, here is how to be like-minded. Here is why you should be like-minded. And then verses 3, as we'll go through another week, he tells them, here's what you need to avoid. And why should you avoid it? Because those things you need to avoid in verse 3 and verse 4 are things that were not seen in the life of Christ. And therefore you want to be like Christ. There are things you need to avoid. And there are things you need to accept. And therefore, here is what you are to accept. Laboring together, loving together, striving together, thinking about the gospel in the same way, having the mind of Christ. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.